You're listening to A Slice of Therapy with me, Alan Parry. When it comes to sports, it's been a while now since I've actually attended, say, a football match. I'm more of an armchair follower these days. But the interesting thing is that whenever you're in a football stadium, there's 22 people on the pitch, and there's thousands of people not on the pitch. And there's a real distinction between them, even though they're all at the same event, or so it seems, because some of those people, the 22 who are in the team, they're actually in the match. They're in the contest. And the other people, thousands of those, they're kind of on the sidelines. And what they all do is that as the match is going on, that the players are in, the spectators will be talking about the match. And so they'll be saying things like, what did he do that for? And why did he pass it over there? And how did he miss that? These kind of questions and conversations that when we're at sports events or even just watching it on TV, we will say. But the big distinction there is that the players are in the match. But the spectators are talking about the match. And the distinction is between being in and about. Now, whenever I've seen American football, it's not soccer. American football is, it's interesting because it's very stop and start is American football. And what I notice about that is that whereas soccer kind of flows, and in fact, the players do talk. You know, when the lockdown was on and no supporters were allowed in the stadium, you can hear the players talking to each other, but they're talking while in the match. And the thing I noticed when I watched American football, it's quite stop-start, is that they will play and then there'll be a stop where all the players get together with the coach and they'll talk about the match. And the reason why I find that interesting is that while they're talking about the match, they're not in the match, and so the match has to stop. And so this has got a bit of a parallel when it comes to therapy, because this distinction between talking about something and being in something has exactly the same thing in terms of therapy as well. Now, in American football, when the players decide to talk and they're talking about the game, it means the game itself has to stop. They actually leave the game so that they can talk about it. So they'll plan what's happening next, or they'll have a debrief about what just happened. And so whenever we're talking about something, it means that in that moment, we're no longer in it. And it's interesting with therapy, because therapy is often referred to as talk therapy, because what happens within therapy is that we talk to each other and we have conversations. Now, when we're having those conversations, we're not having the kind of experiences that connect us to ourselves, to our nervous systems, to our rememberings. And what I notice in therapy is that the more powerful work is done when we're talking from a place of being in it rather than from a place of talking about it. Now, one of the things that I think is really, really key, and many therapists overlook it, is the important role of the autonomic nervous system. Autonomic is just a fancy word that means involuntary. It's that thing where the nervous system kind of takes over. And the example I often give is the If a lion were to walk into this room now, I would be running away before my brain had even engaged. I wouldn't be asking myself questions like, oh, look, Al, there's a lion. I wonder what we should do about the lion. No, my nervous system would have taken over in my defense, in my self-protection, and I'd already be running away. And so the nervous system is responding all the time. And what happens when we just kind of stop talking and go inside, where we will actually connect to ourselves, often by closing our eyes and just being still for a moment and just noticing what the body is actually doing? You know, is there a tightness in the chest? Has the stomach got butterflies in? Do you notice that your leg is bouncing? Do you notice that your breathing is a little bit labored? What is it that your nervous system is doing in that moment? And so when we actually connect to that, and when we actually stop talking about it, but actually get into it and start to connect with ourselves, what happens then is that any talking that happens is almost like a commentator. And so the best kind of talk therapy, in my experience, that works the fastest and gets the most done is where we will connect much more inwardly. That we won't be the spectators in the stand just kind of talking about it, but we'll talk from it. We'll talk from a position of being in it. That juxtaposition, that distinction again, between being in something or talking about it. That in-about distinction. Because when we're in it, we start to really hear the voice of the nervous system as it expresses itself in the body. And once we connect to that, we can then almost like follow the crumbs, follow the lead of the nervous system and let it take us to where it is that we need to go. So what I'm really talking about here is getting experiential of as much as possible being in the experience instead of talking about something. Because when you're in the experience, not only are we hearing what the nervous system has to tell us as it expresses itself through the body, but by following the lead of that nervous system, we start to understand better where the barriers to change are showing up. Because after all, we're changing all the time. I say this a lot, that change is easy except when it's difficult, because we're making change in our life all the time. A moment ago, for instance, this was a dark room, but I turned the light on and now it's not a dark room anymore. That's a change, and it is easy. Most of the changes that we make are so mundane, we don't even notice them. But sometimes what happens is our nervous system reacts in a way to pull us away from the change that we want and gets us to do something else instead. Now, that something else instead is the problem that we normally go to therapy with. And that nervous system response is the thing that actually stops us getting the change we want. The nervous system will kick in whenever it notices that there is a prediction of unsafety as far as it's concerned. Now, one really effective way of starting to understand why the nervous system has learned to respond in that way to this situation, why it is so keen to stop you getting the change that you want, is to enter the imagination. Now, that might seem a strange thing to say, to enter the imagination. But when we enter the imagination, we can construct experiences which are much more powerful than just talking, that allow us to connect to a whole host of things. It allows us to understand what's truly going on with that part of us that's blocking the change. It allows us to understand where that's come from. It allows us to really get in touch with what it is that we need and what it is that we needed back then that is still missing, that is still a hot button for us, is still something that we yearn for. And when we enter an imaginal experience, we can do that in order to discover why it is that our nervous system is responding this way, but also to get a real sense of what we need going forward. But the other important thing that getting into an experience is good for, and getting into the imagination, is it is actually how the nervous system gets retrained. So if there is some sort of cue that is giving some sort of nervous system response that's getting in your way, whether you're becoming very angry or whether you're becoming very anxious or you find it very difficult to regulate emotions, it's because the nervous system, in many senses, is in the driving seat in that moment because it thinks there is a threat. Now, it may well be wrong. It may well be outdated. Perhaps there was a threat back then. But even in the objective safety of now, the nervous system is still responding. Now, when you go into your imagination, it's really powerful to have an imaginal experience because we can actually give the nervous system something different to what it expects. And so once again, rather than just talking about the issue, we can actually go in to the experience, just like that sports distinction I was making before about the distinction between being in something and merely talking about it. When you're in it, you're in part of the game. Now, when you're in the experience, it allows you to connect to your imagination in that way. And the nervous system does respond to the imagination. We've all had nightmares. We all know that we've woken up with our heart pounding and we've had no external stimulation at all other than our own imagination. We know, for instance, when we get anxious and start to dread something simply because we've thought of something in the future and it scared us and our nervous systems react. And in just the same way, you can go into an imaginal experience that will give you exactly what it is that you need. And in that moment of getting your needs met, it sends a signal of safety to the nervous system rather than activation. And so what we can often do with these imaginal experiences is we can allow the nervous system to reprogram its response to all of those cues that are currently giving you a nervous system response that's getting in your way. Now, people do often think, you know, why go into the imagination? Why are we getting into all this internal stuff rather than simply talking? And a big part of the answer is that actually the imagination, the internal world, is where this stuff now lives. So let's say in terms of any trauma that might have happened to me, well, that happened, say, 30 or 40 years ago. It's not actually happening to me now. And yet, when I conjure that up in my imaginal world, I get those same nervous system responses. That actually what's happening is that I am replaying these responses that are now getting in my way. And so in a funny sort of way, it is the imaginal world in which the trauma response continues to exist, even though the original event is now over. So I'm going to say that again. The imaginal world, the internal world, is where the trauma continues to exist. expressed through the body, through the nervous system. That's where it continues to exist, even though the actual trauma is now over. So we can't go back into the past. We don't have time machines or anything like that. We can't replay the past. What happened, happened. But the trauma response continues now as part of our internal world and the nervous system responses to that. And so the place to heal, again, is by having an experience, much more than it is with talking about something. It's funny that it's called talk therapy, because I find that therapy is most effective when you're having an experience, and where the talking is simply reporting what that experience is. So as you're having the experience, either in the immediate aftermath or during, you're actually telling the therapist what's going on in the experience, but you remain in that experience, that positive experience. But not just a positive experience for its own sake, but a positive experience that first gently activates the trauma response, so that this new response, this safe response, this reprogrammed nervous system response that is being reprogrammed by this internal imaginal experience can overwrite the old trauma. And so it takes me back to watching an American football game. Because when the talking starts, the game stops. When the players begin talking about the match, they're no longer in the match. In therapy, very often, when we're talking about what's happening, it means that we too have stepped out of the game. And you might notice that in American football, it takes a long time to finish the game because there's this continual stepping out into talking. And the talking is valuable as a commentary, as a reportage. But when you're actually stepping out of the game in order to talk, then things slow down, both in therapy and in the match itself. And so the fastest way to get change, in my experience, is to have experiences in therapy, to connect internally to what it is your body is doing, because that will teach both of us what it is that your nervous system is up to. And that nervous system gives us a clue as to how it's blocking the changes that you want. And then we can do some imaginal experience to try and fully identify what it is that you need and why the nervous system is responding in that way. And from there, we can then take it to the next stage, which is where we actually use imaginal experiences to rewrite the nervous system response so that there is no longer a trauma response present. And so maybe the best way of describing the kind of therapy that I do at its best is experiential therapy. There are therapies that are strictly talk therapy. Two people will sit in a chair opposite each other and they will simply talk. I find that that's much less powerful in terms of making change. And so the talking that I like best, that I think is most effective in therapy, is the talking that takes place from within an experience. And so if you think of the kind of work that I would do with you, it's not really talk therapy at all. It's experience therapy. It's experiential therapy. And the talking really is just the commentary to let me know what's going on or what's just gone on before we step right back into another experience. Because that is really where the change occurs. If you found this episode useful, then please do share it so that others can get the benefits as well. And if you'd like to work with me directly, then visit liverpoolpsychotherapy.co.uk to get more details as to how. And of course, you don't have to be based local to me. Given that all of my work now is online, you can be pretty much anywhere. A couple of other things you might be interested in is that I have put together a free video course for you, and it's called Childhood Trauma Gone for Good. And it explains how we can now remove trauma rather than simply expect people to manage it better. The other thing that you might be interested in is that I've put together a free trauma recovery scorecard. So within under 3 minutes, you can assess where you are on your own journey and get a tailor-made guide as well on what you need to focus on next. Now, both of those resources are also available at liverpoolpsychotherapy.co.uk. Just visit the website and you'll see them listed there prominently on the front page. So just give them a click and you can access either or both of those free resources. And of course, please subscribe to the podcast as well, because that also is absolutely free and it means you'll never miss an episode again. So thanks for listening, and I'll see you on the next one.